The Front Page Podcast, named one of iTunes' best in 2010.
On Wednesday's Front Page, President Obama used his State of the Union message to call for out-competing the rest of the world. He also proposed deficit-cutting moves here at home, including a five-year freeze in spending on some domestic programs. Protests in Egypt focused anger on President Hosni Mubarak. Riot police couldn't break up a crowd in Cairo even after firing tear gas and water cannons. And a congressional inquiry says the financial meltdown could have been avoided. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama called for setting aside partisan differences and out-competing the rest of the world. He used his State of the Union message to outline what aides described as his plan to win the future. He laid out a blueprint for spending in several areas, including building high-speed rail and clean energy technology, and providing high-speed internet access in rural areas.
At stake is whether new jobs and industries take root in this country or somewhere else. It's whether the hard work and industry of our people is rewarded. It's whether we sustain the leadership that has made America not just a place on a map, but the light to the world.
He also outlined a philosophy that government can be more efficient, and he promised deficit-cutting moves, including a five-year freeze in spending on some domestic programs. He said that approach could reduce the deficit by $400 billion. In Egypt, anti-government protesters clashed with riot police. The demonstrators were at least partly inspired by the protests that brought down the government in Tunisia. We'll have an update on that later in the podcast. The Egyptian protesters were demanding an end to President Hosni Mubarak's nearly 30 years in power. Security forces blasted them with water cannons from time to time. They also fired tear gas, but officers couldn't break up the crowds, and in the end, they kept their distance. A congressional commission says the 2008 financial crisis was a disaster that could have been avoided. The commission concluded that regulators and bankers could have and should have seen it coming. The commission's final report casts a wide net of blame. It says the Federal Reserve and other regulators should have put a stop to shoddy mortgage lending. The report also faults the way loans were packaged and sold to investors, as well as Wall Street's risky bets on securities backed by those same loans. In the wake of the Arizona shootings, familiar questions resurfaced. Are communities where more people carry guns safer or less safe? Would more rigorous background checks make a difference? No one has reliable answers. Scientists and government officials say the reason is the National Rifle Association has stymied the kind of research that's needed. NRA lobbyist Chris Cox denies that. Also on the front page, a mystery here in New York. Right after the December blizzard, a city councilman said sanitation workers had deliberately staged a work slowdown. He said they were angry about job cuts. The slowdown supposedly contributed to problems that left streets unplowed for days. It also prompted jokes on Saturday Night Live and denunciations of unions on cable news channels. Investigators have been trying to get to the bottom of it. They now say they've found no evidence pointing to a slowdown. Inside Wednesday's Times, what a difference a day made for Rahm Emanuel. The Illinois Supreme Court ordered his name back on the ballot in Chicago. The court agreed to consider whether he can run for mayor. Those decisions came a day after a lower court ruled he did not meet residency requirements. Emanuel was White House chief of staff until last October, but says he still owned a house in Chicago and paid taxes there when he was in Washington. Times reporter Monica Davey has this update.
It's interesting. It's not going to be a situation where the Supreme Court hears arguments and we get to see Rahm Emanuel entering the court and watching the arguments over his residency status. What we're going to have is they are going to take a look at the briefs that were filed in the appellate court. So there'll be no new briefs. There'll be no new oral arguments. This is strictly going to be the Illinois Supreme Court reviewing what the appellate court just did. He's choosing to ignore what's going on. He essentially says he's confident this will all work out, and he's moving on. In fact, he said he had doubled up on campaign appearances. He essentially says that this is getting him going even more than usual, and that what he's hearing from voters is that they may not like him at all, but they don't agree with the idea that they shouldn't be the ones to make the choice.
Times reporter Monica Davey in Chicago. In Tunisia, an unexpected twist after a week of anti-government protests. This time, dozens of Tunisians marched to say, give the interim government a break. They were outnumbered by demonstrators who want the interim government dissolved. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick explains from Tunis.
Over the past few days, hundreds of new protesters have arrived from the cities in the impoverished south so they could lend their voices. Many come from Sidi Bouzid, the town 170 miles south where a young man's self-immolation sparked Tunisia's revolution. So far, the police and the military have resisted the temptation to disperse the crowd by force or tear gas, but it's not entirely clear how this standoff is going to end or what, if anything, the interim government is going to do to placate or buy off the protesters.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. The new START treaty is moving forward in Russia. The lower chamber of the Russian parliament ratified it. It now goes to the upper chamber, where a vote is scheduled for Wednesday. That's considered a formality. The chairman of the International Affairs Committee in the Russian Senate says the arms race is a thing of the past. He says what's taking place now is the disarmament race. Wednesday's Business Day section has details on a new slide in housing prices. Prices in 20 major metropolitan areas slid 1% in November. That's according to Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index. 9 of the 20 cities hit new lows for this economic cycle, among them Chicago, Las Vegas, and Atlanta. Only California and Washington, D.C. ran counter to the trend and posted higher prices over the last year. In the Oscar nominations, The King's Speech led the pack. It got 12 nominations. True Grit surged into second position with 10. The Social Network, once the presumed frontrunner, got 8, including one for Best Picture. Inception also received 8. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.